We are up to Siman Tofresh Ches, and we are up to Seif Dalet. We spoke yesterday about the general rule of Mutav Shu Shogigin, Valu Mezidin, not to tell somebody when a person is meant to tell somebody, Mechiach someone. If you know he's still going to do the Avera afterwards, so you better not make him to amaze it. Before was a Shogeg, that's a lesser Avera. You're upgrading it into a Mezid, that's not recommended. We spoke about this rule, and then we spoke about to be mafsig mi boidyoim, that person should interrupt eating mi boidyoim, but he can actually, in reality, he can continue eating as long as he didn't accept specifically. However, it's still better to still mention that I still want to eat after that, if possible at all. And we are starting from Seif Dalet. Now, Erev Yom Kippurim, on Erev Yom Kippur, Ein Lo Lechol, a person should not eat Elo Ma'acholim Kalim, light foods, Leis Akel, which are easy to digest. Kedei, in order, Shelo Ye Sovea, he shouldn't be too satisfied, Umizgae, and proud, Kshay Spalwe in Davans. So don't eat foods that after you're going to be too full. You know when you have a meal and after you just can't move anymore? You know what I mean? Yeah? So you shouldn't, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to feel, you won't be able to daven like it. You won't be able to daven with focused and, so don't do that. A certain sense of luxury and feeling of, okay. Okay, depends, I suppose, how people take it. So don't eat that. And the Ramah adds, V'chein ein oichlem dvorim ha-mechamim ez haguf. Don't eat food items, hamechamimim, which heat up as a goof, the body, shelo yovoi lidei carry, that a person cholina shouldn't get to carry, to become tomei, impure from carry overnight. V'chein ein lechoil ma'acholei cholov, a person should also not eat too much ma'acholei cholov, milky foods shemar bimzer, because they increase the zera, and that's also not recommended. Ach besudas shacharis, but in the morning, in the neagiler leochlon, a person may eat. So that's what Allah is. Let me just see the Mishneh Berurah. If Kodem Tezayin adds a few examples over here. One is dvarim ha-mechamim ezaguf, what heats up a body which is not permitted. He says over here, if Kodem Tezayin, kigoin besomim, if it's, for instance, spicy, very spicy foods, a person shouldn't have. Vekarkim, shikoin zafran, is also a type of spices. V'yayin toiv, very good wine, is also not recommended. But he says, "V'zein he also came of besuda mafsekes." As the Ramah actually explains, it is only with regard to the mafsekes. Suda sheshaches, you are allowed to. In fact, milky foods as well. Sifkot Yudzayin, the Mishneh Berurah says, "What is the reason that you're not allowed to eat dvorim ha-mevim lidei carry?" Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Yudzayin explains, he points out that the reason why it's going to be also is actually because you're not allowed to go into mikveh, you're not allowed to have to go to be tovel yourself on Yom Kippur morning. I think that there's it's brought down in the poskim that there's a minhag to eat fish. What do people eat? People eat fish. I think a lot of people eat fish. Some people eat fish. It's brought down in the poskim to eat fish, and the reason for that is brought down in the Torah because of the following incident. It's brought down in the Torah. What happened was, there was a Yid who wanted to buy foods for the Suda Mafsekes on Erev Yom Kippur. And he wanted to buy fish. He went to a fish shop. What's that called, a fish shop? Fishmonger. And there was only one fish available there. And he said, "Can I please have it?" He overcharged it. He said, "It's cost one gold coin," which was a bit overcharged. And he said, "Fine, I'll buy that for the Suda Mafsekes, it's worth it. In the meantime, somebody else walks in, actually happens to be a personal secretary to the mayor of the city, and he says, "I've come over here to buy a fish for the mayor of the city." And he said, "Well, actually, there's one fish available, it's just being sold." He said, "Well, never mind, he's paying for it, I'm going to pay double." He said, "Well, he's paying one." He said, "Well, fine, it doesn't matter, I'll pay three for that, it's no problem." And then, but Yid says, "Excuse me, I really want to buy it, and I was first. I'm going to pay five for that." He says, "Five gold pieces for a fish, I'll double that." I'll double that. And it was very strange because the fish isn't worth that much money, but he said, no, I'm going to pay. But he insisted, and he was truthfully the first one there. So the fisherman said, okay, you know, actually, he's paying a fortune for this fish. I'll sell it to him, and you know, I'm really sorry he was there first. And he bought it, and it was all for the Sudam of Sekes. This personal secretary of the mayor then went back home, and the mayor was really upset. He said, well, where's my fish? He said, I'm really sorry, I wasn't able to purchase the fish. He said, why not? He said, well, I went to the fisherman, there's only one fish, and he bought it. He said, that's really strange, how come he bought it if there's only one fish? Pay overcharged, told him whatever how much he paid for it. And then he said, get him here, get him to come with me, I want to speak to him. It's really dodgy, why would a person, it's so fishy, it's very fishy that he's spending such a fortune on a fish. And he said, he thought maybe he's a thief, maybe he's a strange fellow, what's going on over here, why is he paying such a fortune? He got him to come, and he came, and he was trembling, he wasn't sure, what does he want from me? And he said, tell me, why are you spending such a fortune on a fish? He said, well, I'll tell you the truth, tomorrow is Yom Kippur, and I want to buy a proper, nice meal for Sudam Afsekes. And that's why I was prepared to pay so much money. He said, are you rich? He said, no, really not. I'm actually a poor man. He said, so how are you doing? I said, well, that's the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur, and I'm prepared to pay a fortune for that. And his mayor was really impressed, and he said, fine, if that's the case, let me pay for that. And he wanted to do his bit towards the mitzvah. Isn't that interesting? And he paid, and he said, let him go, gesund to Helechem Shalom. And that was it. So that's why it's reported. The Torah brings this down, this story. It's not put down in Shulchan Aruch, it's put down in the Torah. And that's why the minute comes on to have fish on Yom Kippur. So I think many people have fish, and that's the source for that. Now, there's another meaning as well with regards to Yom Kippur. Does anybody have Kepler? Kepler on Yom Kippur? Do you have Kepler? Kepler is... Yeah, you have Kepler. So how would you describe Kepler? Pardon? It's meat. It's in a pancake. Thank you very much. In a pancake. Small, and it's like... Right. And do you have that? Anybody? Yeah? Kiba? Kiba, yeah, it's like, it's chicken. I think it's normally the minig is to have chicken in it. Dafka chicken and not proper meat. And it's wrapped up. And the minig for that is, it's actually an ancient minig. I think many people have, it's not put down in the poskim, but it's put down in the minogim sfarim. Do you have noyeg in you?
I have whatever I'm given.
Whatever you're given. Don't ask too many questions. Okay, let's. Okay, so some people have the minig. Now, I'll tell you where the minig comes from. There's 3 days, that's how I remember it, that's what I heard from my grandmother. So there's 3 days that we have Kepler. And it's the three days that we tend to hit. We have Kepler on Purim, on Hoshana Rabba, and on Erev Yom Kippur. So 3 days that we hit. On Purim we hit Haman, on Erev Yom Kippur we hit with ourselves, and on Hoshana Rabba we hit the Hoshanas. The 3 days that we hit, that's when we have Kepler. And there's actually a reason for that. It's actually brought down in the early commentators on Minhagim. It's as follows. These are all three, these are days which are not real Yomim Tovim. Means you're allowed to do melachas on those days. You don't have to refrain from melachas. You're allowed to do melachas on those days, but there's still something very yomtivdig, as we say, about those days. Something very, there's a festive atmosphere on those days. So it's like a balancing act between yomtiv, festivals, and weekdays. It's like a subtle balancing act. Purim, right? You're not going to be too weekdays on Purim. It's like there's something very special about Purim. Hoshana Rabba as well. It's not weekday and it's not yomtiv. There's something in between. And similarly also Erev Yom Kippur. It's like semi yomtiv type of thing. And therefore, the 3 days that are semi yomtiv, we're hitting the meat, which is meat represents yomtiv, but it's hidden in dough, which is like it's hidden. It's not proper type of thing. So we see that even the ancient minhagim, all the minhagim that we have, are precious, and there's reason for them. That's put down in the Sforim books. See, beautiful. So you have outside is sealed, very good. It's hidden, and inside is meat. How beautiful! Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Beautiful. How is that called? Is there a name to it? Yeah. Yeah, okay, so that's with regard to the fish, and that's with regard to the Kepler. Okay, as far as this is concerned, no, but it's a very, no, halachically speaking, not really, no. It's still, Balker is a Balker, yeah. Okay, Simon Tofresh, Tess, Sif Aleph. Hatmonas Chamin Be'er Yom Kippur. Now you tell me if this is Noigea or not, because I wasn't sure if it's really Noigea Lemais or not. You're going to tell me. Hatmonas Chamin Be'er Yom Kippur. Now there's a Isra Hatmona which is actually not so well known. There's a Isra Hatmona on a regular Shabbat as well. You're not allowed to wrap up, insulate foods with hot Even hot towels could actually be a problem. It's something that insulates, even before Shabbos, you know, that's called hatmona, insulating. You know how to insulate something over Shabbos. The post can discuss what are those called, where you keep the chalent pot. It's normally that, okay, there's not much of a shaila. Various reasons for that, but that the shaila over there is applicable really. The shaila applies there. It's fine for various reasons. It's not covered on top, and there's slightly distance. So there's various reasons why the post came out here, but over there you see the shaila of Hatmona. That would be a typical case. You are insulating something for before Shabbos, right into Shabbos. So the shaila is, what about Yom Kippur? You want to have something nice and fresh and hot on Motzi Yom Kippur. And you don't want to start heating up. As we know, nowadays it's not such a process to heat things up. But in those days, you're starving, hungry, you're coming home on Motzi Yom Kippur, you can't anymore. If something is nice and ready and hot, that would be great. So people would do Hatmona before you're heating up, and you're wrapping it up before Yom Kippur, and it's staying hot all the way till Motzi Yom Kippur. And then as you come home, you straight go for it. Yeah? So, is that okay or not? So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us over here. So if Aleph says, it is permitted, Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to do Hatmona, no problem here. Why not? You're allowed to do Hatmona from Erev Yom Kippur right into Motzi Yom Kippur. But the Ramah disagrees, and he says, the Ramah says, no, you may not. And that's the minhag in our countries. Why are you not allowed to do Hatmona? Both reasons are really interesting. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot and Beis. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Sifkot and Beis, because it appears, somebody comes and visits you on Yom Kippur, and you're going home and you smell this delicious aroma of cholent, or whatever it may be, and they say, oh, you're cooking on Yom Kippur? Oh, I didn't know you're allowed to cook on Yom Kippur. Remember, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. But on Yom Kippur, you are not allowed to cook because it's like Shabbos. So people are going to say, oh, you're cooking on Yom Kippur. I didn't know that you're allowed to cook on Yom Kippur. Let me do the same. He's going to go home and he's going to start cooking Yom Kippur just because he had that smell in Yankel's house. So therefore, in order to avoid a mistake, a very natural mistake. If you're going to somebody's house, you smell cooking, you think he's going to cook. So you don't want, you're going to go home and start cooking yourself. So we're not going to allow any Hatmona because it's very likely to lead into trouble. True or not true? It makes sense, no? I think it makes sense. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the reason number two is not mentioned in Mishneh Berurah. It's mentioned in Shaar HaTzion. The Shaar HaTzion brings in a few places in Sifkot Aleph and in Sifkot Gimel. He says, another additional reason of Mechzik Keravanusa. It appears as if you are, Mechzik, it's the end of the last few words of Sifkot Aleph, is that it seems that you're desperate. You're like, you are Ravanusa, you're like hungry, you're desperate, you can't wait. You know what? Calm down a bit. Calm down. We are all hungry on Motzi Yom Kippur. Another 3 minutes. Another 5. You'll be okay. First, have a cup of water. What? Don't be so... Relax. Relax. It's all difficult for all of us. Relax a bit. Calm down a bit. And the fact you're doing Hatmona, it feels like you're desperate. All you're thinking about is about that food. So just calm down. Calm down. Relax. Relax. You're not gonna pass out. So that's the other reason why Hatmona is not permitted according to the Ramah. So the two reasons. One is because it's gonna appear that you're cooking and you're not cooking on Yom Kippur. And the second reason is because don't be all that desperate. Okay, that's the two reasons. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Hear that question? What about blech? You're allowed to have a blech on. Imagine you want to have a blech or a hot plate. You want to keep it on over the whole Yom Kippur. What a beautiful question. Beautiful question. Very nice. You're keeping it on the, blech. You want to keep something on the blech? Yeah, you're keeping for the children. To eat something, yeah. Yeah. So why is that? Why over there? So the second reason won't apply, right? But the first reason should apply. According to that question, he's asking a question. He says, why is it permitted? It is permitted. But why is it permitted? According to the first reasoning that it appears to people you're cooking, it gives the impression you're cooking. The question being asked is that it appears you're cooking. Do you agree to that? No. Why?
Clearly she here, it's on a blech. Couldn't, and
you're
good to have
it
in food. So it's exactly the same as
in Java. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think? There's a difference between keeping something on a hot plate or a blech and wrapping something up. Do you feel there's a difference about that? That we are all be asked over here. Everything that is forbidden that we said is atmana, which means wrapping up. But to put on a blech is not included in that. That wouldn't be called.
Stav hatmana also be mutter if you're doing it for a kid. Even without a blech, hatmana is not allowed to say from Erev Yom Kippur to Motzei Yom Kippur, they want to be zaken that you can't do hatmana because for these two reasons. If your kids are going to be having hot chicken soup over Yom Kippur, you're doing hatmana, then assuming it's not a Shabbos, or even if it is a Shabbos, I don't know, there's more humorous by hatmana.
There is more humorous, yeah. Let's just go back to Shia though. What do you think about it? A hot plate for the children. It's mutter. Yeah, the Emma says that it is mutter.
If hatmana raises the temperature so much so that it can cook something, then I can understand. But
yeah, it's a very valid point. I think your point is very well taken. I'll tell you what something which I saw in the post game. They claim that hatmana makes much of an aroma in the house than other means of heating up. I saw that in the postgame, that when you matmin something, it gives much more of an aroma in the house. Do you agree to that? Could that be? That if you do hatmona, there's much more aroma in the house. The smell is much more, yeah? Much more than if you put. So therefore, it's more likely somebody's going to feel that you're cooking. Hot plate, everybody realizes, according to this understanding, you're not cooking. You're just heating something up. You're not cooking on Shabbos. However, if there's the old house smell, as you're walking in, you see, wow, that's a good challenge there. Then it's more questionable. Yeah. Right, normally? Yeah. Yeah, you are. Okay, let's move on with Simon Tov Reshut. Hadlokas Neres B'Yom Kippur. We're now moving on to the halacha of Hadlokas Neres B'Yom Kippur. Lighting candles on Yom Kippur. Mokem Shenayagin Lehadlik Neir B'Yom HaKippurim Adlikin. Places that the minig is Lehadlik Neir, to light candles on Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur comes in, matlikin, you should do so. Mokim shenagu, but place that the custom is shloi lahadlik, not to light candles, and matlikin, we don't light. So in other words, some do light candles before Yom Kippur comes in, some do not light candles before Yom Kippur. Says the Ramah, v'im yesh leneh bevayis, if there is an additional point now, says the Ramah, if there is light in your house, chayev lahadlik, you must light. You have to light a bit of, you need to have light in the room that you are sleeping. Additional, you need to have a bit more light where you are sleeping. Why? In order shouldn't come to the Issa of Tashmish with his wife. Me'ach, as we know, it's one of the Inuim on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to have Tashmish Amit with your wife. Me'ach, she'roye oisa etzel anesh beveisoi. Since there is light in the room, you are likely, Chachomim were concerned, that you may have relations, and that's also on Yom Kippur. Therefore, you have to have a bit of light. What is that? What is pshat in that? Says Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Na'alef. Mokim shenu agin lehadlik. Shnei ha'mekoymos nischavnu ledovo echot. Both reasons, both approaches as to whether you should have light or you should not have light, they both intend the same point. What is that? Dehainu levatel tashmish, in order to make sure a person doesn't come to have tashmish relations with his wife. Why? The amadlik, the ones who hold that you should have light, hold, kavanos she'osu leshamish neged oir haner. As we know, there's an halacha, there's an issa of not being meshamish when there is light in the room. Uman de loy matlik, and the one who holds that you shouldn't have light, kavanoso, his intention is shelo yira oiso veis avela, you shouldn't see her and have desire for her. V'yochale ve'et tashmish, and that will lead him to have tashmish. V'afilo in nida, and even she is in nida, to also the belavachi, there's any way also to have with her lover aleo, mikol mokum, nevertheless, midehiru loyotze, he may still have thought, and therefore, yivatam achshavta to this will take away his mind on this holy day, and therefore, either way, both opinions, I have the same idea that we are trying to make sure that nobody will come to have tashmish amito with his wife. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in the end of Sif Aleph. V'im chal liyos b'Shabbos. If it is Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, chayovin hakoy lehadlik. Everybody holds you need to light if it's on Shabbos. And you make a bracha of lahadlik neir shel Shabbos v'shel yom kippurim. The Mishneh Berurah. Okay, that's what is passing over here, and that leads us to Sif Beis. No, we're going to talk. Go to that. We're going to get to that in a minute. That's going to be. Yes. Yes. Not to. Yeah. But our minhag is to still do it. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. V'yesh misha oima. We're going to get to the 24 hours later. We're going to get to that shortly. V'yesh misha oima. And some say shemavorich al adlokas ner yom kippur, that we light and we make a bracha adlokas ner yom kippur. Is that the bracha everybody makes? Everybody makes a bracha lehadlik ner yom kippurim. Yeah. That's the bracha we make. Okay. Seif Gimel. Avchein aminik b'medinas einu. That is generally the minik. That is generally the minik to make that bracha. Seif Gimel. Bechol makom shemadlikin, in every place that we light, bevatei knesses, in shuls, bevatei midrashes, and in beis medrash, and mevuas ha'afelim, in the dark alleyways, ve'al gabe acholim, in people don't know, well, in those rooms, well, make sure to raise that. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here that there's an inyan to light more candles on, should be more light on Yom Kippur. And let me just read the first word of Seif Dalet. Nergin bechol mokim leharbois neirois bevot eknesias. There is a minik to have more light in shul. Now, I don't think this shul has got that minik. I don't think so. Do you know any shuls that have more light on Yom Kippur? As the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us here. So I can tell you there's one shul that I know that on weekdays it's quite dark. They make a point of not having all the lights on. Some people find it a bit overdone even. It's quite dark in that particular shul. Shabbos, they put on the light stronger. Yom Tov, there's some lights around that they switch on just for Yom Tov. And on Yom Kippur, there's a certain light that they only switch on Yom Kippur. To become this, not in this country, no. It's in the shul I was brought up in Irgay in Zurich. There's one light that they just put on just for Yom Kippur. I wonder if there's any other shuls that do that. I don't know. They do? Yeah, there's an Indian in that.
They put in a whole bunch more lights a few years ago.
And on Shabbos, they do more yet? Right. Yeah, so it's nice to have touching up. Now, then he adds something really interesting. I'm in the middle of Seif Dalet. And you make everything should be nice and clean on Yom Kippur. Begodim noim, also person's clothes should also be nice and clean on Yom Kippur. And this leads over here, these words in the Shulchan Aruch over here lead to the following discussion. Somebody a while ago was really concerned about his averes, and he said, I've done so many averes, I want to wear sackcloth on Yom Kippur as a sign of tshuva. Okay? He did not do it for attention. Okay? Nowadays, you have to suspect a person like that for attention, right? He didn't do it for attention. He did it because really, genuinely, he put sackcloth on, like a, you know, a sackcloth, like an oval, because of his... So the question was, is he right or is he wrong in doing that? On Yom Kippur, to put sackcloth on. Tisha B'Av is a different child. I'm talking about Yom Kippur. Wrong? Why is it wrong? Such a nice point, because you're going to court. Nobody would go to court in sackcloth. What a nice thought. Yeah. Yeah, but still, there's still a din. There's still a din happening on Yom Kippur. Yeah.
No, but you're right. Why would you wear it? It's a Yom Tov.
Oh, very good. So Lemaisa, the poskim didn't allow that. They said, they didn't bring so much your point, but they put... Yeah, you put white. Yeah, we're going to get to that as well. But definitely the answer is that the halacha was that you're not allowed to do that because ultimately it's still a Yom Tov. It's still a Yom Tov, and since it's a Yom Tov, you have to wear Yom Tov clothes. And that's really what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. You need to make sure that the shul looks presentable as well as you look presentable as well. And you must not wear sackcloth on Yom Kippur, and it's therefore not permitted. There is still, as you're pointing out, there is still a mitzvah according to most, or in fact, well, basically all poskim, there is still a mitzvah of Oinek Yom Tov. Now, normally, how do you fulfill Oinek Yom Tov? Normally, on eating, drinking, you know, that you can't do. But nevertheless, the little we can do on Yom Kippur, we still must do. So, pardon? Very good. Very good. Yes, definitely. 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 Yeah, snuffing, and if that gives a person and a certain oinek, yeah, it's definitely okay. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that in Seif Katan. test, he says that Hashinun lekodosh Hashem mechubot lekodosh Hashem mechubot zeyim akipurim. In other words, there is still mechubot, the concept of covered respect on Yom Kippur. Vekim the ein lechabdoi beachilah v'shtiyah, since you cannot honor the day with eating and drinking, kabdeo, respect it, honor it, beksus nekia, in clean clothes. Veneirois have a gamkin kvoid ayoim, and neirois candles also considered the respect of the day, and everyone should do that. Many people have the minik. Does anybody lay the, how do you lay the table in Yom Kippur? Anybody lays the table, you leave it empty, how do you do it? What do you do, Yom Kippur, the dining room? You cover it in white, right? You put as if it's Shabbos, right? You cover it in white. That's in a universally accepted minhag, I think. You keep the dining room looks like on a Shabbos, like on a Yom Tov. White tablecloth, you make it as presentable and as covered as any other Yom Tov.